of the particular show. Every Thursday, we talk about matters Africa. And today, we are talking about the Alliance of Sahel States. And the Sahel is what we would describe as Saharan Africa. Several Sahelian military juntas, three of them, have announced their withdrawal from the International Criminal Court, raising concerns about accountability, justice, and governance in the region. The three countries, just to name them, are Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali. And Niger is not Nigeria, it's north of Nigeria, it's a separate territory completely. Online to help us understand this particular impasse is Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN and convener at the Africa Policy Circle. Dr. Kariuki, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to your listeners.
This is an interesting, but I wouldn't say an unexpected development. Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali, interestingly, all essentially French-speaking territories, saying we've had enough of the International Criminal Court.
Yes, it's very, as I agree with you also, it's not very surprising to see them taking that kind of stand. They have done quite a few things that are really out of the norm, so to speak, in terms of African leadership, political leadership and development. And this one have just actually added to the long list of their moves in terms of trying to create an independent way of doing their lives as African states. And, of course, this raises a lot of questions, but it's also interesting to see that countries can actually challenge ICC and decide to develop their own form of justice administration in the way they see it fit.
Of course, I think we have to give some context, some background to this, paint the background. I did mention that Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali are all former French territories, and if one goes into that part of Africa, you will find that in the streets, there's a huge amount of resentment against the French, particularly the French. And I'm wondering whether their move stems from their resentment at neo-French colonialism after colonialism, the fact that Mali threw out the French troops, Niger has done the same, and Burkina Faso via Ibrahim Traoré have done the same.
Yes, actually, you're right. Part of this actually stems from that resentment that is coming as a result of many years of control and the French, even post their independence. And so what the Sahelian juntas are doing is trying to create some form of sovereignty out of these colonial masters who are still entrenching their values and control in the countries that they colonized and in their colonies, even after independence. So part of that is what's actually driving them to come to a place where they can say enough of external control in the matters that they perceive to be within their jurisdiction. And to some extent, one would agree that there is a need for that, because freedom is not truly freedom if a nation doesn't have full control of its own sovereignty and direction in which it flows. But of course, there are some concerns around, of course, the withdrawal, knowing that the three countries that already have been in and out of conflict, political conflict, terrorist attacks, and territory that is always contested by international countries, of course, led by France. And so the quest to be sovereign in terms of determining their justice path and taking control of their decisions without external influence, then it has a basis for their action that they're taking now. The concern, of course, is multifaceted. One, of course, is that the possibility that in case there is any conflict around that region, by the time they established a common process of administrating justice, it may take long and many lives could be lost in the process without any form of political accountability. And the second, of course, is about the consolidation of their own power within their own territories, that is not subject to international scrutiny. Remember that one of the many roles of the ICC as a court is to ensure that there is actually political accountability and that they can ensure there is an enforcement of international law within countries. So that kind of delineation from or withdrawing this case creates a room that may not be wholly, you know, aligned with international law, of which the three countries are also subject to, because that's, the international law is not just for ICC as an institution, but it is for every country around the world to protect the interests of citizens and to ensure there is, you know, justice meted out on anyone who violates those kinds of law. So that also is being a concern. It's interesting to see how the three countries are going to form, you know, a mechanism that will ensure that their citizenry justice is not violated and is not overlooked, and that there'll be a serious level of political accountability where there is justice is misused and all that.
And of course, just to add on to what you're saying, is that I don't think, despite the misgivings, and the misgivings are certainly justified, Human Rights Watch warning of certain dangers, that we can't underestimate Africa's resentment at the ICC for the very simple reason people like Ariel Sharon, Tony Blair, and the devil's drinking partner Benjamin Netanyahu have not been arrested, and nor have they appeared before the court, which a lot of African citizens think they should have done, as opposed to some of our leaders. Yes, they did wrong, being convicted into ICC, while some of these characters run around the world as free citizens.
That's one of the many reasons, Shafiq, why these three countries have decided to withdraw their participation within the ICC. It is that perceived selective justice, where they argue that the ICC disproportionately targets African countries and many times leaves those who are powerful states who are already, you know, promoting injustice of some sort across the world. And secondly, of course, is about the not only externally interfering with country jurisdictions, but also they do not set precedents that can be persuasive to be followed. And so that selective justice mitigation and the lack of accountability to the countries in which they're intervening has created this kind of a gap of trust between the Sahelian countries and the court. And of course, there's most of the time there is also that there is no political alignment and defense of any other external actors in areas where there is conflict, on ongoing conflict, to the extent that it can promote a high level of trust by hosting countries that the ICC will remain independent of biasness. So these are very compelling reasons, because there is evidence around the world where the court has failed in some way or another in creating a sense of comprehensive justice that actually does not favor either of the sides. And of course, the big one is when they leave the leaders from the most powerful countries to do whatever they want. And that, of course, creates also problems for other countries who are still members of the ICC. Because if it can happen to some countries, believe you me, if a country does not have global clout, it was also going to be subjected to the same humiliation.
Though, of course, it's not going to be easy for these three Sahelian countries to leave the ICC. There's a process, isn't there? The Rome Statute, which is its foundational principle, demands that they have to give a year's notice. So it's not an immediate rescission of things. They have to go through a whole process. So it's only in a year's time that we'll be able to really see the dust settling.
That's very true. I think it's important to let our listeners know that there is a process, not just an email away or something like that. There is a process to be followed. There is, of course, room for engagement and negotiations between the ICC and Sahelian junta, and I'm sure probably that is already happening or about to happen behind the scenes. And so it's a whole process of engagement, and hopefully also at some stage the African Union will also be involved in this, because it is in the interest of the African Union to ensure that none of the countries are left without political accountability, and that the justice for all must be seen to be a continental norm rather than just a selected norm for certain countries. So I think there is a lot of negotiations that have to happen behind the scene, and I'm sure the ICC will be very much willing to engage in those kind of constructive conversations to ensure that the junta states also that are not left on their own to do what they can do on their own without, you know, somebody watching. And, but of course, it's a process that will take almost a year, as you said, because these negotiations don't happen immediately. And of course, there's difficult things to be considered because their case is compelling, and they have valid reasons why they think the court is not adding value in their area of work and their jurisdiction. But at the same time, also, I'm sure the ICC will put very compelling reasons why they shouldn't leave that kind of an international structure that ensures international law is observed and justice for all is also ensured. So it's going to be a series of engagements on an ongoing basis until finally there is a decision that is mutually beneficial for all parties.
Of course, I mean, there is a very real danger of a domino effect, as it were, because in the region we've got Somaliland, Somalia, Senegal, Ethiopia, Eritrea, southern Somalia, and so on and so on. It's going to be a nervous neighborhood, isn't it?
It's going to be like that. And I think that's also a very important point to mention, that however how the ICC goes about this situation and manages it will either make other countries to start exploring possibilities of withdrawal, or it's going to create a moment of trust that countries will say that they will still want to remain as members. And I think they will tread this very carefully, because I'm sure there are so many countries, especially in the countries you've mentioned, and probably other parts of the world, where that kind of a decision is not far-fetched. There have been in countries previously seeking to withdraw from the ICC, and they were compelled not to. But if they handle these three countries and they allow them to go out without very compelling reasons to persuade them to remain, I can assure you there'll be a flurry of notifications going forward from other countries also insisting they would like also to have their own autonomy and sovereignty to determine their justice administration.
Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Today's this week's edition of the African Mirror. We're talking about the Alliance of Sahel States, namely Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali. Burkina Faso, led by Ibrahim Traoré, you'll see him a lot in social media, expressing their intentions to withdraw from the International Criminal Court. Of course, the whole process takes a year. But online, and a special thanks to Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal and convener at the Africa Policy Circle. As always, it's been a great pleasure on African Mirror.
Thank you so much, Afik, for having me on the show.